Blog Talk Radio.
Yat Ekas, Siso, you are listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. And this is Cal Nez. It's a little bit after 9. And we're doing a half an hour show this evening. The lines are open. So please give us a call. Let's talk. I am looking forward to hearing from you. There is a lot to talk about, and we only have just a few minutes. So, call in. I believe the internet information is on Facebook. And the telephone number is, of course, on there as well. So please give us a call. And what do you have on your mind? Tonight is open line. Again, this is Cal Nez, and you are listening to Navajo Talk Radio Show called Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. Ako are ni hichit da hos net do le ya le ban ta da kesigi ishi ara hot o ban de ti do le to ban ya de ti do le jos ka September 26th we're going to have also another show in the afternoon. I am trying to get people from the Del Sosi as well as Krista Sheetney and have them give us a call and find out what's going on with the Supreme Court case. I'm sure that you guys are all curious as much as the rest of the world is, because this is going to set a precedence for the future of our Navajo Nation government and how much language and what are we going to continue and expect our people to talk. And there's a lot of issues that are concerning here. So, ako aren nihichit da ho snet. Iban sa da case. Edo da o yat e hat nila aren ho shte. You're listening to Politics on the we're going to talk about Navajo politics, and tonight's just open line call. So again, I am trying to just navigate the internet right now to give you the if there's any callers, and yeah, it's pretty quiet right now. And we have about 25 minutes left in the show. So let me see. Like I said, tomorrow is September 26th. And the leading news that I think that most of everybody is curious about is the Del Sosi, the former candidate for the Navajo Nation president, file a grievance against Krista Sheetney. And Krista Sheetney, for not speaking, for not being fluent in Navajo. There's been a lot of discussion on Facebook about people basically saying that, what exactly does it mean? Some people are saying that, you know what, this is a non-issue, let's get past it, let's move on, and we cannot be addressing this, so forth. And then there's many different opinions where, what exactly does fluency mean? And the fluency, how much? And then who is, if we're going to make that as part of the qualification, does that mean that we need to have the Navajo a fluency test? And some people are saying, well, it's really not the responsibility of the Navajo Nation Elections Office to enforce these laws. Well, if it's not going to be them, then who is it supposed to be enforcing these qualifications? And if that's the case, then why do they have a qualification in the first place if you can't really have a anybody to check through and make sure that all the candidates are qualified? And so all these little technical things, and is the judge going to basically say that the grievance period that the candidate is supposed to be filing this is too late? Which argument do you suppose that they're going to use? And is it going to be the argument that the Navajo Nation, like I said, the Navajo Nation Elections Office has two grievance complaint filing period, one shortly after the May opening or the closing of the all the candidates registering. And at that point, they are saying that that's when you're supposed to be filing your complaint. And, of course, that didn't happen. And for this particular argument, is that what going to be said by the Navajo Nation Supreme Court tomorrow? It'd be a curiosity. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen. And so, or are they going to really look at this thing and say, well, what does qualification mean? I'm wondering where this argument is all going to go. So for anybody who's out there listening right now from the from either of the camps, or even you're welcome to give me a call. Give me a call right now and present your opinion. The telephone number here is 323-642-1708. Again, you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. And the telephone number here, again, is 323-642-1708.
Yeah.
Yat et ka sinto ke hela arena ra sino sta ko aren ich na ra hos net ni de sno kro e we only got about 20 minutes now, so the telephone number here is 323-642-1708. And I was just sent a document here saying that the hearing, the opening brief of the appellant. And so I'm trying to just scan through as quickly as I can. And yes, it does say what the intent is of the grievance filing and the appeal. And the interesting thing about it, for those that are wondering, it looks to me like Del Soce's attorney is David Jordan from Gallup. And so it's an opening, it was sent to me just now, opening brief of the appellant. So I'm trying to just go through here as quickly as I can to find out, you know, of course, I'm curious to see what the Deschutes, reply is, and I'm going to go down as far as I can to look at some of the argument in reference to non-fluency issue. And the argument, it says, number one, the Office of Hearing erred in applying a 10-day limit of a complaint about a material false statement in a candidate application. And then the argument two is Deschutes should be disqualified for making a false statement in his candidate application. And the subcategory of that is that the court should disqualify Deschutes because he has admitted his lack of fluency. B is removal of Deschutes is supported by the Nebebehizani. C, removal of Deschutes is supported by the legislative history of Section 11 Navajo Nation Code. So request for attorney's fees. So as I'm going down through here, statement of the case, proceedings below, statement of jurisdiction, standard of review, statement of facts, and statement of issues. You know, one of the interesting thing that I was thinking about this whole thing, about this whole issue, when you talk about the, you know, the language fluency, is that really a fault? And I guess there's a wide range of opinions and ideology on this. But the argument in reference to what these people are saying is not so much his lack of fluency. See, there's a huge difference between saying, okay, this person should be disqualified because he doesn't speak Navajo. What they're saying is that he made a false statement because he already knew that he wasn't fluent. Therefore, that should disqualify him. So, in other words, I guess it's saying that he lied. And so, and again, just kind of quickly through, as I'm talking, I'm reading and kind of looking through here. issue of statement of the issue. Number one, did the Navajo Nation Office of Hearings and Appeal err in applying the 10-day limitation containing in Navajo Nation Code 11 to a complaint about falsification in a candidate's application? Number two, did OHA err in refusing to disqualify Deschiti, who has admitted publicly that he does not speak and understand Navajo? So, argument in reference to the Navajo Nation Office of Appeals applying a 10-day limit to a complaint about a false statement in a candidate's application. The first line in this, it says, "Leaders don't lie," and those are in quotes. Christopher Clark Deschiti, August 2014. This is a case about a candidate that based his candidacy on a false statement about his qualification. He claimed at the time that he filed his candidate application that he was fluent in the Navajo language, a representation he was required to make if he desired to be a presidential candidate. Having begun his campaign with a falsehood, Deschiti must now answer to this court and to the Navajo people about the Yin Bazad, the sacred words that form the foundation of his. That's interesting, the Yin Bazad, the sacred words that form the foundation of his candidacy. OHA dismissed Sosie's grievance because of the 10-day limitation in the Navajo Nation Code. Sosie contended that this is wrong. This is the wrong statute to apply. He further contends that this court should disqualify Deschiti because of his public admissions that he is not fluent in Navajo, which is a necessary prerequisite for candidacy. As the court is aware, the undersigned is a Bilagana. However, according to the ruling of the Navajo Office of Hearing and Appeals, the undersigned could submit a candidate application, falsify a census number and other qualifying information. And if no one challenged the false statement in the first 10 days, the undersigned would be a legitimate candidate for the Navajo Nation, for president of the Navajo Nation, not subject to any legal challenge. This is a bad law. Unfortunately, it is not the Navajo law. Fortunately, it is not the Navajo law. The OHA applied Navajo Nation Code 11, a statute that allows a candidate to challenge an unqualified candidate 10 days after their certification. This statute, however, says nothing about making false statement in a candidate's application. Sosie asserts that he had the right to challenge the false statement notwithstanding the expiration of 10 days from the certification of Deschiti by the Navajo Election Administration. Navajo Nation Code 11 gives a candidate opportunity to challenge the election's facial review of another candidate's qualification. The the Navajo Nation Office of Election Administration is registered as follows: within 30 days receipt of the candidate, election office shall review, verify, determine, and on the face of the candidate's application, the qualification for the candidacy. The election does not do investigation or background checks. It is this facial review of the application that is grievable under Section 24. This makes sense. The application is public information, and any candidate can obtain a copy of the application. If upon the face of the application, the election office has made the wrong decision, and the opposing candidate can challenge the election's certification. The court should consider how difficult it would be to place the burden on a candidate to discover false statement within that 10-day period. The candidate must certify that he or she has not been convicted of certain crimes within the last 5 years. There were 17 candidates for the president this year. The best funded candidate with the most elaborate campaign staff would have difficulty conducting background checks of all 16 opposing candidates within the 10-day period. The issue of fluency would even be more difficult to validate. Deshini helped the process this year by admitting that he was not fluent and that he would be fluent by the end of his first term. The fact of this false statement came to light at the first public forum on August 29th, 24 days after the cutoff for the qualification challenges. Deshini admitted that he did not have sufficient grasp of the Dinebizad to state his opinion in the Navajo language, even though he has essentially admitting that he has, okay, interesting stuff here, even though he was essentially admitting that he had falsified his candidate application. It was far too late to make a Section 24 challenge at the time. When he applied to become a candidate for the president, Deshini was required to acknowledge that the consequence of a false statement was removal. Sosi contends that challenging a false statement seeking removal is not governed by 11 Navajo Nation Code. Sosi is not challenging the elections office facial review and the certification of Deshini so much as he is challenging the false statement contained in Deshini's candidate application. This is a different issue under Navajo statute. Sosi contends that a challenge to a false statement in the candidate application should be governed by Section 11. This statute provides within 10 days of the incident, complaint of, or the election, the complaining person must file with the Office of Hearing and Appeals a written complaint setting forth the reason why he or she believes the election code has not been complied with. It makes far more sense to apply this longer period of challenges for challenges to false statements, which are more difficult to discover. By their very nature, false statements are designed to conceal the truth. applying the 10-day rule of Section 24 rewards a candidate who is particularly clever in hiding the truth. The remaining election statute only makes sense if the court adopts Soce's view. The court will note that Section 11 recognized that a candidate may be disqualified after the primary election. How is it possible that, given the hearings and appeals view of the statute, the deadline for the candidate application is 90 days before the primary? Section 11, thus, no longer than 80 days before the primary. The deadline for Section 24 qualification challenges has passed. Section 11 only makes sense if the court recognizes that challenges for false statements for qualification can be filed within 10 days after the election. This court appears to go further in allowing the false statement challenge after the general election in Sandoval versus the election office. In that case, the court examined election Section 11 and found that it applied to a candidate for a school board even though the pertinent part of the statute was enacted after the candidate submitted his candidate application. So we have about 1 minute left to go here in the show. So as you can tell, they are using some argument. This is a total of 19 pages opening. So Supreme Court ako are jo nhe khashi do ban si ke so kudo e di she kudo whatever the results are, I guess it's going to set a precedence for our Navajo Nation government. And again, it is not so much about the fact that his inability, it is it sounds to me like they're arguing that there was a false statement made. So, you know, I wish I would have heard from a lot more people this evening, but nonetheless, tomorrow we will be on the air again, and we'll be talking about this. I've got some guests that are lined up for tomorrow, and it's going to be a 30-minute show, and it'd be very interesting to see what the how this is all going to turn out. Ako tahasi lo khe lan are nar isio kisto are nar isno sa tan kuroshe hut o e nich hanana si do le. Again, you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. We are still on the internet, and we are for those that are still listening, you're still welcome to call in, but the recorded portion of the show is still off. But nonetheless, you are welcome to still call in, and I suppose that we're going to be talking off record and or off recording, so you're still welcome to call in, people, and let's talk about this and see what your thoughts are, and it'd be great to hear from you still. This is Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. So again, some interesting arguments. And it's just not just this. There's so many other things. If Chris Deschini gets disqualified, does that mean that tomorrow Russell Begay moves up? And even if that happens, are we all going to be happy? And how happy are we going to be if that's the case? And because there are several other things that are possibly going to develop. And I believe Mr. Russell Begay is also facing some issues with the Navajo Nation oil and gas. And from what I understand, is that particular issue is going, there are some forensic, what do they call it? Audit, yeah, there you go. Forensic audit that they are doing right now. And that should be coming within the next month or a month and a half. And that might even change the issue that now he has, and I have not even heard what the Russell Begay's ethics and rules complaint filed by Mr. Leonard L. Sosi from the Navajo Nation Oil and Gas. And of course, there's all that side to it too, that people are, you know, they're saying that the Robert Joe and his board of directors are the correct one. And yet at the same time, now we have Mr. Louis Danette Sosi and Leonard L. Sosi, and that section, they're also saying that they're right. So, you know, it's really, really quite interesting to me. And so, again, you know, you are absolutely welcome to call in still. And the recorded section of the radio show is off, but that doesn't mean that we can't still talk and chat. So I'm going to read a little bit more of this opening brief. It was sent to me just now, and I'm going to try to get to the point about the that part about the courts or their argument about the false statement is very quite interesting. So I will, let me continue to read this portion about the, just right before we went off the recorded section, it talked about a school board making that as an example. So the court found that the issue in this case is not retroactive application of amended section 6E back to the date of the candidate's filing, but rather the forward application of this law to an election that has not yet occurred. Sandoval, all this court stuff, slip op at 12, whatever that means. In other words, the court looked not at the primary election, but the general election that occurred after the change in the qualification statute. The court was concerned that government inaction may allow an unqualified candidate to be presented to the public for their selection to office. that same concern is presented in this case. The court then proceeded to set forth Navajo law on the subject. The law that the Office of Hearing and Appeals should have followed in this case. Quote, in our Navajo thinking, great responsibility of public service are placed on the Nat'ani, greater than may be commonly understood in other jurisdictions. Those who wish to serve must understand his her own need to self-assess his her own qualification under the laws, his her own ability to serve, and the great need of the public that in numerous cases lack the resources to watch over the action of the Nat'anis they select. A candidate may not circumvent expressing condition established by the council by keeping silent until an election is over, disqualifying conditions that are known to a candidate are not waived simply because an election has taken place. In short, the withholding of disqualifying conditions by a candidate goes to the self-assessment expected of a Nat'ani and his or her fitness to serve. The Nat'ani, in the circumstances of this case, would be expected to voluntarily step back. Try as he might, Sosi will never be able to make the case that his grievance should have been heard more eloquently than the court did in Sandoval. The Navajo Nation Office of Hearing erred in dismissing the grievance. So, very, very interesting. So, Kheila Ara, Atinde Daisanosa, you're welcome to call in and let's continue to talk. So, you know, it looks like splitting the hairs, but yet at the same time, you know, there is an argument to be made. Again, what they're saying is not that Krista Chitney should be penalized for not speaking Navajo, but it's the fact that he made a false statement. So, speaking of the false statement, this Chitney, you know, this is the second part of their argument, I guess. This Chitney should be disqualified for making a false statement in his candidate application. Since election cases must occur on an expedient basis, and since this court has expressed its preference on numerous occasions for global resolution that achieve finality, Sosi is not asking that this be remanded on the Navajo Nation Office of Hearing and Appeals, but rather he's asking that the court acknowledge Deschigny's public admission of his lack of fluency and order him disqualified under Section 11. A. The court should disqualify Deschigny because he admitted his lack of fluency. In some future case, there may have to be an evidentiary hearing to determine the fluency of a candidate. That is not so in the present action. Deschigny admitted his lack of fluency, promising to be completely fluent by the end of his first administration. see factual statement number 5. However, a candidate does not have the right to make the Navajo people wait until the end of his administration to achieve a qualifying skill that is required of him at the time he admitted his candidate application. The application of Section 11 is clear. Deschini is not qualified, and he should be removed from the ballot. Quite interesting. They're really, you know, they're going into this thing. In a recent public statement, Deschini has more carefully in his remarks about his language skill, stating fluency is a matter of opinion. Facially, the court may be concerned about whether the question of a candidate's fluency is objective enough to measure. Soci asserts the court that objective standard do exist for fluency, and that it is an important part of the Navajo people's expectation of their highest Nat'ani. Now they're referring to Abel Lagana's book. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines fluent as, quote, able to speak a language easily and very well. So they also put the website in there. The fact of the matter is that most people, most Navajos know immediately whether another speaker is able to speak a language easily and very well. It is acknowledged that in some cases, candidates may not take Deschini's path and admit publicly their lack of fluency. In such cases, the challengers will carry the burden of proof. However, it is anticipated that the Navajo speaker will have little difficulty sifting those who speak Navajo easily from those who do not. Admittedly, today, we are very inclined to immediately ask Webster about the definition of a word or a word used in a phrase. However, when we pose the same question in our Deneva Behizani, answers are more specific, structured, and organized, and the logical reason is given to substantiate such structure and specificity. Fluency, according to the Deneva Behizani, is defined as an individual's ability to talk about analysis, speech, to talk, protect speech, and the ability.